Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. at this time of the day here at WUVS 103.7 The Beat. It is Community Focus. This program is hosted by my brother Gregory T. Roberts and myself. And as we have for the past few weeks, we have been wishing brother Gregory T. well and waiting for his return to the airways with us. Okay, we have a couple of exciting guests lined up for you today. Before we do that, let's get to the weather. I'm glad to tell you this, but man, we have some sunny days lined up for you all today. Low 55, high of 74, and sunny. Tomorrow, low 59, high of 74, sunny. Sunday, low 60, high 77, and sunny. Monday, sunny again, low 57, high of 78. Tuesday, partly cloudy, low 58, high of 78. Wednesday, low 55, high of 72, expected to be cloudy. And again on Thursday, the low drops a bit, low of 48, high of 69, and partly sunny. No rain in the forecast for the next 7 days. I hope you get out and enjoy this beautiful fall weather that we're going to have next week. All right. I usually do my three things. I was running around today, didn't get a chance to do, but how about I give you three? I was just sitting here thinking three of my favorite go-to duets. Actually, I could tell you my favorite go-to duet singer is Roberta Flack. And Roberta Flack and Peebo, Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. So that would mean The Closer I Get to You and Where's the Love. And I always follow that up with Nothing Has Ever Felt This Way Before. So those are my three of my go-to favorite duets that I listen to. I'm not a music DJ. I just like what I like. All right. I want to throw a birthday shout out to my great niece, Princess Ialea. Happy birthday, dear. All right. I'm going to now shift and bring on, I believe, our first guest for today. Would you join me in welcoming, and I'm going to say Sierra?
Yes.
Would you join me in welcoming to our program for the first time, Miss Sierra Edmonds? Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm doing well. Miss Evans, why don't you introduce yourself to folks, tell them who you are and kind of what you do.
Awesome. My name is Sierra Edmonds. I am the statewide apprenticeship readiness training program manager at Michigan Workforce Development Institute. We offer free apprenticeship readiness training to communities across Michigan, basically getting people prepared for a life-changing career in the skilled trades industry.
Okay. So let's go a little slower for those of us that, you know, older and always get this as first time through. So tell us what apprenticeship readiness training is and who qualifies for it and how they can make themselves available.
Okay. Apprenticeship readiness, it's a 9-week program. And throughout the program, we work on soft skills, preparing for employment in the skilled trades industry. We focus a lot on construction, math, blueprint reading. We do a little bit of financial literacy, labor history. We go back into what the skilled trades industry used to look like, what it looks like now. And then we also do certifications. We give OSHA 30, first aid CPR, AED, lead asbestos and silica awareness, as well as the Multicraft Core Curriculum certification through the National Association of Building Trades Unions. It's nationally recognized, and all of the union partners who offer apprenticeships and skilled trades utilize that in their apprenticeships. So folks are graduating this program with a leg up, with not just some apprenticeship readiness in terms of learning the different skills about constructive feedback and you know, what it's really going to take to get into the industry, but also some certifications so that they're prepared to go directly to work and not to the training center.
Okay.
And so in order to get in, eligibility requirements are pretty simple. Looking for folks that are 18 years or older, have a driver's license. We do offer driver's license reinstatement as well as some wraparound supportive services to try to remove barriers so folks do have an opportunity at the apprenticeship readiness program. They submit a few documents. We test using the work keys test. We test on applied math, graphic literacy, and workplace documents. Pass with a 4, which is about an 8th grade level requirement. And then we also do a panel interview. We invite our trade partners to come in. We have our leadership team and our case management team sit in on a panel, and we do an interview. Once we finish with the interview, we do a drug test and physical. As long as all the steps are passed, then we welcome folks into the program.
Okay. And so it's 9 weeks program. What kind of, is it a classroom setting for the training?
It varies across the state. We really like to tailor the program to the need of the community. So we have one community currently going in person Monday through Friday. Currently right now, our Grand Rapids Muskegon applicants are really like to tailor the program to the need of the community. So we have one community currently. Connection went out a little bit. Our Grand Rapids Muskegon community has been attending in Coopersville, and they go hybrid. So Tuesday through Friday, they're on Zoom in the evening from 4 to 8. And then Saturdays, they meet at the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Local 174, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's where we're doing their OSHA certifications. We also do some site visits of different training centers. We have trades folks come into the class during that in-person time. And so it is a hybrid schedule. But depending on the need of the community, we do our best to kind of tailor that. So if there's a need for it to be more in person, then we adapt to that.
Okay. So in theory, a person can do this while they're still employed in another job?
Correct. Yes. Some of our programs we offer in the morning. So even though it's still hybrid, in the mornings they're on Zoom. And so some folks can work first, second, or third. Just depends. And then, you know, we take the highest number of folks who need that morning or evening, and that's how we determine what the class will be like for that community.
Okay. Now, is there a fee for this training?
There is not. This training is completely free. 9 weeks, completely free. All they have to do is show up with an open mind, be willing to be engaged, participate, and learn. The rest, all the tools that are needed to be successful, we provide, from books to PPE to for the training site visits, American-made work boots, also a laptop for folks if they are joining us on the hybrid side, so that they can engage. They just really need to have the requirements and show up.
Okay. So at the end of the 9 weeks, is there an exam that you have to pass?
There is not. We do. So we work keys test in the beginning. And so we also work keys test in the end, just to kind of track if there has been any progress. And maybe they score a little bit higher, which will help them, especially if they're going for like electricians or plumbers and pipe fitters. They're looking for more of a score of a 5 or a 6 versus others who only require a 4. But that does not deter them from anything. We also have a placement team that work alongside them to submit their apprenticeship applications and look for open employment opportunities with signatory contractors to help them post-graduation. And so their only thing they have to do is attend the class for 9 weeks, show up, participate. We also give a stipend. So for their participation and engagement, they receive $200 a week as long as they're on time and they show up. And then there's also $50 for the in-person part, just to help alleviate some of the travel expense. We know it's not a lot, and we know some folks are still employed, but we want to do our best to try to help folks be successful. So,
okay. So, like you say, these are being done all over the state.
Yes.
Okay. So, if you're in the Muskegon area, you do this in Coopersville. Am I correct?
Currently, our class actually graduates today. We are looking to move into Muskegon. We've started locating and identifying different partners for space and things like that, so we can be centralized and it's more accessible to the Muskegon community. So we would like to separate that class, but we have one in Coopersville, but we would also like to offer one in Muskegon.
Is that the Coopersville class that's graduating today?
Yes.
And how many people will be in that group?
We have 9 students graduating.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So now for folks that don't know, when we use that term apprentice, that means something specific in the trades. Mm-hmm. Correct. Could you maybe tell for folks that don't know what that means?
So basically, these are registered apprenticeships. So they have been registered with the U.S. Department of Labor and identified as a program that can be anywhere from 3 years to 5 years, where you're accepted into this apprenticeship as like an employee, but you're also doing on-the-job learning. So you're working, you're learning, you're training alongside a journeyman, which is someone who's journeyed out of their apprenticeship. So they've been in their apprenticeship 3, 4, 5 years. They've graduated from that and become a journey worker and are now teaching an apprentice, which is someone who works alongside them while they learn. So they call it earn while you learn programs. You're employed, you're training on the job site, in the classroom, all at the same time.
Okay. How long has this program been available?
We have been available since about 2017. We originally started over in Detroit. And so that was our home base for a while. And then after COVID, we branched out to Kalamazoo. And then our program grew. We got a little additional funding from the state, and we were able to duplicate the model in Lansing, Flint, Saginaw, Benton Harbor, and Grand Rapids.
Okay. And the program's been around since 2017. Have you had an opportunity to do any follow-up on people who have been through the program, success rates, all those types of things?
That is currently what we're working on right now. Of course, you know, we're kind of growing pretty quickly, and then with the additional funding and things. So that was something that we had to create, was a tracking tool and a placement team to now go back and follow up with a lot of those folks. We've currently just in, so we offer a few different programs, but just in our apprenticeship readiness program, we've enrolled over 600 students. And of those 600 students, about 590 of them have graduated. And of that, we've tracked down at least about 200 placements so far. And then we also have an additional 100 or so that are currently in like gap employment or have went on to further their education.
So I guess just maybe in a narrative kind of way, what's some of the feedback you've heard from the participants?
I've heard a lot of different things, a lot of good feedback in terms of it was very helpful, especially alongside other individuals who applied for apprenticeships, but they did not have apprenticeship readiness. Maybe they came straight out of high school or was a career change for them. And so they really felt like they had a leg up because they had certifications, because they had some on-the-job training, that they were really more prepared versus other folks. And then we've even been in a position where we've been able to make some agreements with some of the training centers, where when our folks do graduate our program, because they are already have the National Association of Building Trades Union certification, it gives them 300 hours that now union or that contractor does not have to pay, and they can go straight to work. And so they've kind of been getting a little bit of a leg up. So the feedback has been awesome. Now that we have a placement team, it's just gotten better because now we can offer additional support. We can sit with them and fill out applications. As jobs come available, as projects begin across the state, they're starting to reach out to us looking for some of our graduates to come to work. And so we've been able to offer more opportunities. So the feedback has been awesome.
Yeah, so did this program come about based on feedback you got from employers in terms of skills that they felt like they wanted to see employees have coming into their organizations?
Yes, this program was designed with the unionized skilled trades industry in mind and at the table. There was a need. Obviously, we know as they call it sometimes, the silver tsunami is happening. The baby boomers are retiring. A lot of folks are journeying out and becoming journey workers or going on to instruct and mentor. And so there was a high demand. There was a need for new apprentices, for some young people to come in and put in another 10 or 20 years in the industry so that the jobs and the projects can continue to be built out across the state.
Okay. So let's say I'm an employer, and I know you can't speak from the employer side, but could I theoretically hire someone and go, you know, I see your skills a little short. I'm going to hire you, but you have to do this program during your probationary period just to make sure your skills are where I'd like them to be to bring you on full-time permanently. Does that happen, or is that theoretically something you could do?
Yeah, that's definitely happened before, especially because it's obviously a lot cheaper for them not to have to train them for $300 so that they're prepared, especially when it comes to safety
Sure.
and things like that. Math is a big one too, because math is a little bit different in school than it is in construction.
Sure.
So we have had some reverse referrals in terms of folks who've become unemployed and they aren't necessarily ready, and so they do come back to us. Even to get into a lot of these apprenticeships, there's an exam that they have to take. Some of them are more mechanical, some of them are more trade specific, some of them are just a lot of math and things like that. And so when they go, if they don't pass, we get some referrals from that way too. So folks are showing that they're interested, they're showing up, they're taking the exam, but they're not quite at that mark that they need to be to get in. So they'll come back to us, we'll get them some training, make sure they get their certs, try to focus on some of those math areas or blueprint reading where they may be falling short, so that they can go back and test again.
Okay. As folks are listening to us today, if they go, "Hey, this sounds like something for me," or they know somebody, who should they contact?
They can visit our website, www.miwdi.org, and they will see not just the program information, but also a link to apply. When they go to our online portal and set up an account and complete an interest form, they'll be assigned to a local recruiter who will then give them a call, invite them to our virtual info session. We'll walk through the requirements, the expectations, and then we'll help them complete the next step so that they can go through the process of enrollment.
Okay. Do you have any demographics on who's been taking advantage of this program?
Certainly, our target demographic currently, we target youth 18 to 24. Obviously, anyone who qualifies is welcome to apply, but our advertising and our recruitment strategies have been focused on 18 to 24 women, people of color, returning citizens, and veterans. And so, from the most recent data that I've gotten, about 84% of our 600 program applicants have been from those underserved populations.
Okay. You mentioned sometimes that some of the, just in a narrative way again, some folks have decided to go on to further education or other classes. What kind of information do you have about that? Is it just what they were exposed to that they go, "Aha, I want more"?
Yeah, I think so, especially mainly for folks going into some more complicated roles like engineering and things like that, going on to further their education in that space. We also offer CDL training in some of our communities. And so some folks decide to go ahead and get their CDLs along with the certifications that they earned in our apprenticeship readiness programs, just so that they're more employable, they're more marketable when they're going out to look for those positions.
Okay, so what's offered may be different based on the location and what you have in that community.
Correct.
Okay, would you happen to know, like in the one in, excuse me, the one in Coopersville, what was offered at that one, and if there's going to be a future group there, what may be offered?
We do make referrals to CDL training in Grand Rapids. I think we've had a few from Muskegon as well. The closest truck driving school is in Grand Rapids. And so it's really just dependent on the availability of funding of when those opportunities are available. But when they do come available, we do like to make sure that folks in our programs know about them and have the opportunity to apply for them. And so those programs do fall under the WIOA program for adult and dislocated workers. So they do have to
Okay.
be unemployed or underemployed to qualify. So there are some additional requirements that they will have to meet to get the additional training.
Okay. You said the age group was 18 to 24, but there are instances where you can't take people outside that age range?
No, we do not discriminate on age, race, gender, or anything like that. So if folks apply, if they can go and pass that physical, if they can pass their work keys test and drug test and panel interview, if they make it through those steps, we wholeheartedly welcome them to the program.
Okay, and it is worth us saying for Michigan, which is a state where certain marijuana and things are legal. I do want you to want to emphasize you do you have to do a drug test prior to being accepted into the program.
Correct. And that is because when they go out into the field to work in an apprenticeship or alongside a signatory contractor, It's legal in Michigan, but it's not legal in the industry.
Yes.
There's safety standards, there's liability, and so we cannot have folks out there operating machinery or on scaffolds or anything like that under the influence. And so, yeah, it is a requirement. Not only do we test them to come into the program, if for whatever reason or on scaffolds or anything like that under the influence. Oh.
We're going to wait a second to see if we're getting this Edmonds back on. Again, we're on the air with Sierra Edmonds of Workforce Development of their Apprenticeship Readiness Program. And looks like we had a little trouble earlier. It looks like we may have lost the connection with her. Again, we'll wait another second. But if you're interested in that, okay, I see we may have her back. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's live and it happens sometimes. but you were kind of saying, you know, you being into the program, you really sort of treat it like you're accepting a new job. You know,
yes.
the process you go through is, you know, so people shouldn't take it lightly, you know, that
exactly.
You're going to go through a process of being selected and qualifying as if you're actually taking a job in a trade pretty much.
Correct. And our program is designed to hold them to the standard of actually being in an apprenticeship. It's a pre-apprenticeship phase, but the standards, the expectations, being on time, participating, focusing, and, you know, just learning and growing is the same as they would be out in the field. And so we want folks to really be prepared, and we can only do that if we hold them to that same standard. And before I got disconnected, I was just saying, once they graduate the program, if they're applying for apprenticeships or they're going to work for a contractor, they may be drug tested again. If the project ends and a new project begins and the location is different, they could be tested again as well. And so just, you know, folks, we do like them to be aware that, you know, this is just, it's a part of the industry. It's a part of the requirements. We want people not just employed, but safely out here working in the industry. So
if someone's listening or interested, give them some keys to making sure they, if they get in the program, that they're successful while they're in it.
One, I would say be on time. On time is late. 15 minutes early is on time. So be on time. Come prepared. Be engaged. Ask questions. If there's something that you don't understand, there's something that does not make sense, or something you need clarity on, ask. A lot of our instructors stay after class and mentor, and they take their personal time and help folks out. And communication, if you're going through something, communicate. We have a wonderful team of case managers on the ground who do their best to help remove barriers, whether that's referrals to other organizations or we have the funding to do so, whether that's childcare, transportation, driver's license reinstatement, a plethora of things, because we know serving a community that's for a long time been underserved, that some of those things need to happen. And so communication, being willing to be open, is super important. And then advocate for yourself. Once you graduate and you get these certifications, be willing to navigate conversations with folks in the industry. We don't guarantee employment or apprenticeship, but we do guarantee connections. We will introduce you to who you need to know, but they have to be able to have that conversation. They have to be able to market themselves and advocate for the positions that they want to take. So I think those are the top things that I would share for folks interested in coming in the program.
Okay, thanks. And you indicated, you know, how you kind of help them, but, you know, if I'm new and got these certifications, you all have resources that will help me put them on my resume, how to present my certifications in that kind of fashion as well.
Correct. We do cover resume building, mock interviews, all of that things. We also hold contractors meetings where we bring in trades, we bring in business agents and signatory contractors. And we kind of just lunch and learn. They get an opportunity to speak one-on-one with those folks, give them their updated resume. We've even done business cards before. So that, like I said earlier, we equip them with the tools necessary to be successful, but they have to do the footwork to get into the actual positions.
Okay. Ms. Simmons, thank you so much for joining us today. Anything you want to make sure that we didn't cover or concerning the program or workforce development you want to get out today?
No, not really, other than kind of a call to action. If there are any organizations out there that are interested in partnering with us and helping us get the word out to the community, please feel free to reach out. You can follow us on social media at Michigan WDI. Visit our website, www.miwdi.org. And just reach out, let us know how we can support, how we can help the community, how can we get the word out about this program, because it's really a great opportunity at a life-changing career. It's not a dead-end job. It's giving financial stability, the opportunity for generational wealth for families of Muskegon. So any way that folks are willing, if there's anyone interested in applying, please reach out, let us know so we can connect with you and help through the enrollment process.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Edmonds, for informing us here on Community Focus, and our excellent invitation to come back and join us anytime and update us on programs that are taking place, okay?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Folks, we're going to take a brief break, then we'll be back with our next guest for today. Okay, good afternoon, and welcome back to Community Focus here at 103.7 The Beat. I don't know how I say this, but again, our program, you can find it on our radio at 103.7 The Beat. It's also being broadcast live on Facebook. So you can actually see my lovely face as I'm speaking. You can also go to the Goji app and find it on several of our platforms as well. We are waiting for our next guest, but I'll say this to him, and I'll tell you this as well. If you are living in the state of Michigan and you have been following, you know that our state did not have a budget according to state law. We have to have a budget adopted by the end of September 30th. The state fiscal year goes from October 1st to September 30th. And so we were a couple of days away from the fiscal year ending, and we did not have a budget, which meant, you know, crisis, or close to crisis. Don't know if they laid people off or what happened, but as of yesterday evening, we've seen posts that they have reached a budget deal between the governor and the House, which is led by the GOP. My next guest, we're going to, my comments probably changed now that we understand they do have a budget deal. But for those, especially schools, nonprofits, a lot of agencies are just kind of on pins and needles because nobody knew what was going to happen. So a lot of relief, a lot more relief today, knowing how they supposedly have a budget agreement. And again, come the 29th or 30th, when they convene and vote, a whole lot more relief now that we have this budget here in the state of Michigan. So with that, again, we are waiting on our next guest, who is a member of the legislature. So hopefully you'll be able to join us and discuss that a little bit. While we're waiting on him, again, speaking of government, crazy week, huh? Like they all seem to be. And, you know, I usually do my top five or top three educator program. And I have intentionally, over the past several weeks, kind of refrained from covering much national news because, as you know, we are inundated. But sometimes between what we read on our cell phones, on TV, on radios, we're inundated by some of the national scene, as well as the international. And so we try to hear, bring you a little something different. We're bringing a lot of focal stories, things going on in the community, programs, businesses that are local, just to try to give you a little different perspective. Not that we ignore those things. As you may know, during election time, we sort of shift on election day. We cover state, local, and federal elections. We have a whole election team. And we'll pull the team together and comment on things throughout the year. But there's other things going on in the world. And this being a well-rounded community radio station. We do try to focus on other things at times. I was really excited to hear my last guest. You know, you if you follow any of the data that's going on, you hear that a lot of employers have a difficult time employing young people. I always tell people, on a weekend, it's easier to get a doctor than a plumber. And the plumber, the doctor's probably cheaper. There's a couple of hospitals and clinics open, but you try to get a plumber on the weekend, you get the mileage rate, the double time, the triple time wait, the weekend rate, and when your toilet is backing up, you pay it. So we need more young people to go into these trades, plumbing, electrical, all these trades that we need people to do. So hopefully people take advantage of those programs. Again, as you said, if you have to travel a little bit, they give you a $200 a week stipend. I always say, when people will pay you to learn, pay you to upgrade your skills, you ought to feel like you're stealing money, because that's not everyone in the world. You get paid to learn, and stipend is not paid, but you're getting some dollars to sort of help you. Some folks may be unemployed or underemployed, so you get a few dollars to kind of help you. So that's just a tremendous opportunity that we hope folks will consider taking up on. Okay. Again, we're still waiting on our next guest and him being a member of the legislature. I'm aware of how their schedules can run behind. So I know we have a few of our guests that tune in regularly. We have a little time. If you've got some thoughts, some questions, I'd love to interact with you. I know it's interesting. I get folks from all over the country that I run into throughout the week, throughout the year, that will tell me they caught a program here and there or comment on a program. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the folks that will that pop in and some, that are able to catch the program later on Facebook. But be glad to hear some comments from you. I'm seeing a note that we now have our guest coming in. I'm going to give him just a second to get prepared. And as soon as he's ready, we'll have them go ahead and bring him up on the screen. All right. Folks, would you join me in welcoming to our program State Representative Luke Meerman, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Good afternoon, sir. Okay, we have a picture working on getting some sound. And again, I know he has a busy schedule. They've had a busy few weeks, and again, I'm sure they were up late working. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I can. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm real good.
Good. Thank you for joining us here on Community Focus. I know you guys were up late last night.
And, yes.
Yes. Welcome to the program. Would you introduce yourself to our audience and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Luke Meerman. I represent the 89th District. It is mostly Muskegon and Ottawa County and a little bit of Kent County. It goes from Fruitport to Kent City down to Allendale. I'm a dairy farmer by trade, and I'm just happy to and honored to represent the 89th District.
Okay. I was sort of joking earlier. I know I was going to interview you yesterday. I had a whole different set of questions, but now that we seem to have a budget, I threw all those away.
Yeah, right.
I joked you up late. Talk to us a little bit about how you landed on getting things agreed to yesterday.
Yes. Well, most of it was around whether or not we're going to find ways to cut money out of the state budget and push it towards roads.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a increase in the wholesale tax on marijuana. And I would say those are the main things that were agreed to yesterday by the speaker, the minor majority leader, and the governor yesterday. And then we did vote out three bills accomplishing some of that.
Okay. So what's left in the process for, I'm on a board of a local charter school. The question, everybody's been biting their nails and, you know, waiting on a budget. So after the yesterday, what's the next steps left in the process?
Yeah. So, you know, we're furiously working with our counterparts in the Senate and the governor's office. And by we're, I'm being generous because I'm not on for appropriations. Most of us in the legislature aren't. It's about a third. And, you know, it's the high level discussions between the governor, Majority Leader Winnie Brinks, Speaker Hall, about individual budgets. So Department of Education, Michigan Department of Agriculture, Department of Environmental Quality, you know, those budgets, high level discussions are happening about sort of where the target's going to be. And by that target, I mean the amount of money they're sort of agreeing on spending in that department. Mm-hmm. And once they decide on that, then it kind of, it'll go back to the chairs of those committees, chairs, appropriation chairs of Michigan Department of Agriculture and other departments. And they will kind of give their thumbprint on it or advice. Mm-hmm. And then it moves up to full appropriations and then in front of the speaker and majority leader as well and governor. So, and all of this is happening, I would say, before Tuesday.
Yeah.
Maybe even, we might even be back in Monday voting on some of it.
Okay. Was the sense again that, that everybody wants, still wants to get this done by September, end of September 30th?
Yes, yes, because of the agreement yesterday, which, you know, was, I think by 5:30 yesterday, we knew we had something moving, maybe 4:30. And then I think by 6:30, it was starting to look like, yes, you know, we're really quite sure. And I want to say before 8 o'clock, between 7 and 8, we took the biggest votes. So once that happened, it kind of broke the logjam. There is the potential that, you know, the disagreements get serious in some of these budgets. Mm-hmm. But the concept of, like, for instance, ghost employees. So these are positions that are funded by the state legislature in different departments, but have never had someone fill them. My understanding, the governor agreed to cut 1,500 of them.
Is that sort of like a way to just put a little extra money in your budget?
I would argue that, yes.
Okay. I saw that in one of the articles.
No, yes.
Yeah, I saw it in one of the articles, and when it said ghost employees, and I'm an old budget guy, you know, and, you know, you have a few little budget tricks you try to slide in there, you know. So I wasn't sure in that context, what that term meant.
Yes. And to be fair, you know, some of them need to be filled. For instance, corrections. We're missing, you know, hundreds of employees in the corrections department.
Okay.
And so we're not going to go through and cut those potential employees and the money for them out of the process. And, you know, we found 4,500 ghost employees, and the agreement with the governor was let's cut 1,500. So it's a step in the right direction. And to your point, yes, if the money's not used to pay an employee, you can use it within that budget that is in that line item. So it definitely is a way that it doesn't come back to general fund. That money does not come back.
So most of these were positions that had not been filled over some period of time.
Yes, exactly. We're talking about, you know, and many of them a decade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So not layoffs in that sense, but.
No layoffs. Nobody who's currently working is losing a job.
Okay. If I could just, my first time in an interview, and I believe first time on Community Focus, if I could pull back a little bit, tell folks a little bit about the committees that you're on and sort of your interest. This is your second term, I believe, in legislature?
Second term serving Muskegon County.
Yes.
Fourth term serving, because I served two terms in just Ottawa County before they redistricted.
Correct, yes.
But I serve
your committee.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I don't know if I mentioned it early on, but I'm a dairy farmer by trade. Mm-hmm. I love the citizens legislature part. All of us come from different backgrounds, and it's important for the perspective that's needed in Lansing. You need people that know things about other topics that you don't. Mm-hmm. So mine is dairy farming, agriculture. The committees I serve on are health policy. So that's, you know, bills that would pertain to health. We'll go through that committee. Mm-hmm. I also serve on as chair of oversight of children's welfare.
Okay.
Which has been quite a big lift for me. My wife and I did do foster care, but the depth of what we're facing is pretty extensive.
Sure.
And then also I'm vice chair of foreign affairs, so in oversight of government on foreign affairs.
Okay. The committee with the children's welfare, what is some of the work you've been involved in over the past year?
Yeah. We had a pretty significant hearing with the director of DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, 2 weeks ago, Tuesday. For me, it was quite a kind of a culmination of a lot of work that we've been doing on the committee, from investigating child deaths, which honestly are obviously hard. But if we're going to give voices to these kids where, you know, we, the state, got this wrong, we need to dig into it. And so we've had families come forward, grandmothers come forward and speak. We had people coming forward that, you know, do residential care. So if somebody, you know, needs some more serious help and they need to go live in a facility, we've had those directors come forward and people that are in them come forward. So Tuesday, we're having a prosecutor from Marquette County up in the UP come forward and speak about how things are going up there. And in a very broad sense, I think we have a department that has way too many responsibilities, and we need to bring some of these back to the local level, because it's not going well. There's just too many kids where things go really wrong.
Okay. What are some of the things that you look to be focused on during this next fiscal year?
Yeah, we got some bills where we are working to, it's immigrant doctors, so doctors that have a license in other countries and they want to immigrate to the United States. We're looking at ways to kind of help fast track them into our licensing process.
Okay.
In the state of Michigan, other states are doing it. Illinois have done it, and many other states.
Okay.
And it's not skipping the license process, and we are considering where their training came from. So it's not anybody who has a doctor's license. It's people who have gotten their training at places that would be comparable to how what training is done here.
Yes, I understand. Okay. Good. Representative, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go online and look up Luke Meerman, or, you know, House District 89, and it will pop up there with, you know, a web link. You can email us, call the office. We work on a lot of different issues, and for those that are listening, you know, never be afraid to call. All we can say is maybe no. But, you know, from Secretary of State issues to unemployment issues, it's part of our responsibility as legislator in the state of Michigan is representing the people that send us there. And we can work on things. We can work on individual specific things for people, sometimes IRS issues. So please call.
Representative, you have a guest there with you. You want to introduce your other guest there with you? Is that something in front of you?
I got my arms up here on the steering wheel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was an animal in the car. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
The distortion of the camera. I apologize. I thought there was
I wish I could not be sitting in my vehicle and, you know, sitting in an office.
Well,
but I'm kind of in between things right now, and this is where we're at. So,
okay, yeah, I'm sure I scared you when I said a guest in the car. I apologize. I get. I know you have been terribly busy the last few days, and probably a couple of more busy days ahead of you. And I don't take too much of your time. Let me ask you this. This is your fourth term in the legislature. Folks who may not be familiar with you, what would you tell folks you're most proud of in your time of serving?
Yeah, well, thank you. I guess number one, I just want to say I'm honored to be asked to serve. You know, I came from, like I already described, an agriculture background without really any family history in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a pretty big step. And I think, you know, those that were watching me, you know, say I wanted to run, I think that probably doubted whether or not, you know, I could win. So I would, you know, just as a kind of an offshoot of that, I would encourage anyone to consider running. You know, it's not as hard as you might think. And I have announced I'm not seeking re-election.
Okay.
I could seek election for two more terms.
Okay.
So the seat will be open, and you know, someone new will be serving in 2027.
Okay.
I'll serve through 2026. I guess what I'd be most proud of, well, I'm very hopeful on the CPS work. Like I already kind of alluded to, I think we need to restructure this system. There was a time in the 90s that the casework was done at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not, you know, kids were removed from homes or stayed in homes, or you know, those decisions were kept at a more local level, and the courts were more involved. And I think we need to get back to something like that, because I mean, the stories we're going to hear about on Tuesday, I was just talking to the prosecutor an hour ago, that's coming to testify in oversight on Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
They're just heartbreaking stories. I had someone just sent me another news report of a young 11-year-old in Flint who passed away. He's dead now at the hands of his stepmother and stepfather.
Oh,
they're being charged. So, you know, if I can have an imprint on that, an impact on that, and making sure that these kids have better outcomes,
sure,
it'll all be worth it.
Yeah. And Representative, again, in your background, I know that children are close to your heart, and your family. You've opened up your family to international students and foster children. We get a lot of young listeners to our program, a lot of young entrepreneurs, young people getting involved in nonprofits. If you could kind of speak to those young people about the idea of getting involved in whether it's local or state government, we'd love to have you do that.
Thank you. I'm passionate about this republic that we have here. There's never been a country in history where we had peaceful transition of power this long, and have had a republic where people's vote is counted on who serves them. And I know it seems like we're in times that, you know, there's a storm, And it seems uncertain, but we've been in times like this in the past. If you Google and look up the Missouri border wars, that was just before the Civil War. You know, there's been other times in history where our nation seemed on the verge of something. And so I would just encourage people to stay involved. This peaceful dialogue of, you know, opposing views is so critical to the future of our nation, that we can have that dialogue and we can have that choice at the ballot box, and then we can all go home knowing that, you know, this is our republic moving forward one year after year. And so this next generation, I'm honestly most hopeful about the kids that are in college now, the kids that are in high school. I'm hopeful that they're seeing how precious this is, and you know, wanting to step forward to continue with our free exchange of ideas with each other, I've seen a lot of interest from them. I was at an event recently where there was 1,000 people in Marne. So I'm hopeful that this country has a future. And let me go on to say that this amount of freedom that we have in the United States is also still unique. And I know we don't have the freedom sort of that we used to, you know, the size of government, local, state, and federal has grown. But the idea that you can come here and start a pizza shop, start a lawn care business, start a big business, you know, there's opportunity in this United States, and it comes from freedom and it comes from limited government. So I hope people understand how precious that is.
All right. Thank you for those words, Representative. I'm going to free you up to get to the rest of your day. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, and we hope to maybe get you back on in the future and kind of update us on things going on in Lansing.
Oh, my goodness. I'd love to come back on, and please forgive me for coming on late.
No, that's quite all right. We'd rather have you out there working for us than here in West Michigan.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Be safe. Folks, that's State Representative Luke Meerman. If you don't know him, haven't heard from him, he said something really important. I want you guys to hear me on this. Don't think it does not matter if you call, email, or write your state representatives, your state senators. They keep track of who calls, who writes. They have staff that responds. So call, write, send an email. Or let them know if you have concerns, if you have questions. They will get back with you. They may not tell you what you want to hear. They might not tell you something they can't do, but they do need to hear from you. Folks complain all the time, we don't hear from you until election time. Well, sometimes you don't contact them until election time. And so you may not know Mr. Meerman. I don't know him personally at all. But if you have concerns, please reach out to your representative. That's your local, your state, and your federal representatives. They need to hear from you. All right. We got about a minute or so left in the program. I want to thank you all, as I do every week, for joining us on the program. It's my treat and my honor to sit here every week and interview guests and hopefully bring out of them information that informs our community. It's a privilege and an honor. Brother Gregory T., man, I need you to get better. I look forward so much to doing this with you, brother. I want to thank the folks here at WUVS who make me look good and sound good. Those are both monumental tasks. Thank you guys so much for helping me to do this when I come in. I'm not a professional journalist. I love my community. I love communicating information and sharing knowledge with our people. So look, you all, it's a beautiful weekend. Go out and watch some high school football, some soccer. Maybe you get to grill out still and take in some fresh air. Visit some family and some friends. Go to a place of worship this weekend. And some of those favorite people in your life, make a point to tell them you love them. All right? This has been Community Focus. Go out and be a blessing.